It's the biggest gamble you can possibly take. Yeah. It's almost the most guaranteed way to lose your money. Be showing up in, you know, suits every day, dealing with billionaires. You'd have to up your game to be able to deal with people like that. Doesn't matter what woman you're with, she's never good enough.
Yeah.
She could be the most beautiful woman in the world and it will be, I think you could do better. Imagine your kids growing up in that lifestyle.
Every time you say something, it becomes a reality. Mm-hmm. And it's like every time you speak those words, it becomes a little bit more true. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have on Chris for round two because the first episode was just so good, we had to run it back. Now, before we kick things off, Chris and his business partner, Alex, are doing something really, really cool. We've decided to team up on it. They are putting together an amazing business project called 1M House. Now, this isn't just a typical members club. They are launching luxury properties that you can go train in, work in, and stay in and collaborate with other members. I've literally not seen this done before in the YouTube fitness self-improvement space. Like, seriously, these are luxury properties, and the first one is actually in Spain, not too far away from Marbella. So per year membership is 3,000, which is incredibly good value because that gives you actually 30 days to stay per year. And over time, the plan is to allow members to stay 365 days a year as more properties launch. This is pretty crazy. I'm definitely going to be utilizing 1M House myself. I'm going to stay there a lot. So I'm really excited for the guys and I'm really happy to partner up with them. We're going to talk about it a lot more in the podcast, but remember, all links are down in the description box. Code LIPSIT for 5% off. Let's get into the episode. Chris,
we're back again.
Welcome back. You are the first person that I have had on the podcast for round two.
Twice. Yeah. I feel privileged, man.
And so it was actually this time last year. And it was like around March, wasn't it? Yeah, I was looking at our old video and it said like 11 months ago. So it's about to go 12 months. And at that stage, I was like deep in competition prep.
Yep.
Super strict. But now, go for a little beer afterwards. A little whiskey, a little drink.
We said this as well. We said we all need to go for a drink.
Exactly.
Obviously, we've got something to celebrate. Can't reveal it yet.
Yeah. No, that's on today's topic. Yeah, yeah. Today's topic for
no,
sure.
No, it's good to be back, mate. I definitely invited myself, though.
Yeah. No, you're always welcome. You're always welcome.
I appreciate
Honorary
it.
Cracking open off the caffeine. But no, it's so good to have you back here.
I'm actually disappointed you haven't got the old. I don't know if I can say the brand. I'm not sure, can I?
Which? Come on.
Nocco.
Oh, yeah,
I'm disappointed.
Usually I have them next door.
I'm just going to pop into the old Scandi shop and get some.
They are unreal. So, Chris, what is something people get wrong about you?
Sound bites.
I suppose to say the exact same.
Yeah. So you've probably seen them. They're on TikTok, they're on Instagram and whatnot. You know, it's 15 seconds of something that I've said that's quite outlandish. So, you know, being on YouTube, so to speak, from the early days. So I guess I've been doing this, what, 8-9 years now. Yeah. There's a lot of old footage of me looking, not saying I look perfect today, but looking terrible when I was younger.
Perfect.
You know, puffy face. I appreciate it, mate. Yeah. Thank you. Puffy face, a lot younger. The environment was like a garage.
Yeah.
You know, and you're saying real controversial things like, my balls are massive. And you're saying, I remember one that went really viral about women in the gym.
Yeah.
I said,
what was it?
Do I want it to resurface?
Yeah. Maybe not.
I'll paraphrase.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just along the lines of, I'll make sure it's not a soundbite. So it's along the lines of like, men have to go to the gym for like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
They have to work their absolute nuts off.
Yeah.
I said, as a woman, like, if you're hot, you're going to be hot.
Yeah.
Genetically, it's there. You can make yourself better, whatever. I was like, I've seen them. They go to the gym. They do a few squats. They take a few selfies and they piss off homes. So
yeah. Well, look, physiologically speaking, it is more difficult to gain muscle than to just lose fat.
Yeah.
And men to get that cover model Hollywood physique, they got to gain, they got want to be looking like Chris Hemsworth, you know.
Exactly.
So whereas like, take a Victoria's Secret model, you know, they've pretty much very little muscle, you know, they've got good definition and everything, but so physiologically speaking, you're not wrong, you know. But when you look at the most sought after physiques, you're not technically wrong, but you know, but it does help if girls go to the gym.
Of course,
but it's harder for guys, 100%.
But that's the evolution of, I think, myself. That was one thing that I realized as well, because I then go into the gym and TikTok is very localized. So it was showing those videos to people I knew in the area.
Yeah.
And there was girls that I knew that were friends of mine that were like, why, like, what's this about? Like, you know, I train hard and whatever. And I'm like, no, I know you do. And then over time, obviously, you have to change how you, like, basically, I've always said, People have said to me, do you regret what you said in the past? And I'm like, I still agree with everything I ever said.
Yeah.
I still believe everything I ever said. I just wouldn't say it the same way.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I think Tate said something similar to that as well. Okay. Like, you know, when you get a lot of people looking at you, you have to change the way you deliver your message.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how it is. And is there anything that you think you're wrong about, or not even, let's not use the word wrong, anything that you've changed your mind on?
I would say, because we spoke about marriage, me and you last time, right? And I wouldn't say I'm pro marriage now.
Yeah.
You guys can't see off camera. It's my business partner. Yeah. He's a marriage advocate.
We've You're had like, a goddamn idiot.
he's not as smart. Isn't he? So seeing how beautiful his relationship is, and seeing what's happened, you know, in his life, it's convinced me a little bit more.
Okay.
Now, would I do it? I don't know. I've talked to, obviously, James Sexton, divorce lawyer, recently.
I'm going
to
pick your brains on that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, hearing about what you can do, what you can put in place, you're like, okay, it's opened my mind up to it a little bit. I still think the dangers are there. Yeah. But, you know, you just evolve, you know, and you start. I think as you go through life, especially with success, as you probably find, you get a lot of people that want to bring you down. There's a lot of people that, you know, are fake friends and stuff like that along the way. So you kind of realize that having that family unit, I think Hamza actually said it best to me once. He said, imagine having a compound where it's you, your wife, your kids, your closest friends and family. What else would you need?
Yeah.
He was like, you've got that support unit around you. You'd never need anything else. And I was like, do you know what? He's right. It takes away like anything you're worried about in life. Oh, I need a woman. I need money. I need support. I need love. It's all there.
Yeah.
It's all in one place. So.
Build the compound. That's what I'm trying to do here. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So I'm starting to look at that more now and go, family unit, tight-knit group. You know, less is more.
Yeah, I've actually been speaking to Hamza a good bit recently. I did a call for his private coaching group, you know.
I remember.
Just went on and just started riffing. And then we started, you know, speaking privately. And that was the first time, you know, we've got to, you know, just talk a good bit. Such a good guy. You can tell he's got a good soul. He mentioned you a lot as well.
I appreciate that.
He's a good dude. And so one thing with the marriage thing and the James Sexton thing. So I'm of course, getting married this year as well.
Congratulations.
And so thank you. And I have a good point, and it only came to me recently, right? So you know the statistic that with something like 50% of marriages fail or something? Yeah. You also got to keep in mind 80% of dudes are fucking broken obese. You got to realize that guys aren't killing it. These guys that are getting divorced and whatever, because they don't have the pick of the best partner.
Yeah.
That's real. So if you complete yourself as a man, if you level up, you work on yourself, you've got a great partner to choose from, that percentage comes down a lot.
Yeah.
If you're essentially red-pilled, you know, and you find yourself a great girl, you're not in the average. You know, so the average is 50% for sure, but most guys haven't a clue what's going on. Most guys are just complete messes.
Additionally as well, I think those statistics are slightly skewed because a lot of those are second and third marriages. And you think, well, it's the same guys getting divorced over and over again.
Yeah.
And when women are educated, 70% of the time, they're the ones who initiate the divorce. When they're highly educated, it's 90% of the time. So I got a lot of stick for this in the past as well, because when you go against men and you're a men's lifestyle guy, the whole world is like, hang on a minute. Yeah. I thought this was like an anti-woman channel, which obviously we're not. And you've got to put the blame on men there. The statistics are saying, like, you know as well as I do, right? A guy's married for 10 years. What does he do? He sits in front of the TV, watches football, drinks a few beers, shit foods, doesn't sleep with his wife. And even when he does, it's a lackluster performance. You know,
missionary standard.
Marshmallow through a keyhole, that sort of stuff. So he's struggling. And you've got to side with the women. Are they angels? Do they have their issues as well? Yeah, but the thing is, I remember reading something in a book once. I think the book's called Attachment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to paraphrase, but they said something along the lines of, most people's relationships end because what's promised in courtship isn't delivered in actuality.
Nice.
And that happens where people go, I'm going to put all the effort in the world in. I'm going to impress this woman. You know, I'm going to give the best sexual performance of my life. I'm going to dress up, get a haircut every time I see her. 5 years down the line, they're like, this is just my normal, you know, it's my woman. She just lives with me. I don't have to impress her. She might do the same. But for guys, I think it's so important to keep pushing. Because that's why they like you. Ambition, pushing forwards.
Exactly.
That's why they noticed you. Like, what, you think they were your only option? Like, she had 2,000-3,000 guys that were ready to take her out that night, and she chose you. Stay on top of your game.
Yeah. You know what? So there's two things to unpack there. Most guys just stop trying, and that's like the main thing.
Yeah.
But I think as men, it's funny because you mentioned, is this not an anti-women channel?
Yeah.
Men should put the blame on themselves more.
It's healthy.
That's what you should. You should take ownership. One of the books that changed my life is Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And as soon as you start saying, everything's my fault, that's when you're free.
Yeah.
That's when you're actually free, when you stop playing the blame game on everything. It's like, oh, she broke up with me. Be the guy that doesn't get broken up with.
Yeah.
You know, and in the last, I've been with my girlfriend 5 years, fiance now, 5 years. I've gotten in better shape.
Yep.
Yeah, I've upped my money. I've gotten more financially set. My lifestyle has improved. 90% of guys do the opposite. So, like, don't be that small percentage, or be that small percentage of guys who, the longer they're in a relationship, the better they get.
Do you know the problem too? And I think this is a mammalian thing. You ever heard of the Coolidge effect?
No, never.
So the Coolidge effect, I have to bring this full circle and remember where I'm going, but it links to like masturbation. They did a study where there was two mice. There's a female one and a male one. So the male obviously sleeps with the woman, goes to the other side of the cage, you know, as men do. He was exhausted. They brought in another female mice, run straight over, you know, sex with her.
Yeah.
Apparently did this like 18 times and he was like near death. Every time they brought another one in, he was keen to do it.
Yeah.
I think there's something in men that, you know, once you've almost, you know, quote unquote, conquered,
where
you've got the woman, there's almost something that makes them relax. They almost get lazy. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
There's a certain mindset to keep pushing.
There's definitely like an evolutionary thing there. Like, you know, the way when you even strip it all back biologically, it's like a woman, if she gets pregnant, she's at the aim for 9 months.
Yeah.
A man is just, doesn't matter. A man is like, he's out of the game for like an hour.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So I think just from simply a biological standpoint, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And so when you meet someone these days, what do you say you do?
Oh, well, this is actually really key to where I am at life right now. So I was saying the other day, I think I actually said it to, you know, our business partner on the right. I was saying that previously when I met people, it was very much like, oh, I'm a YouTuber.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I never wanted to identify as a YouTuber. That's why the brand is First Man, 1M. Yeah. It's not my name, because I always saw it as being bigger. But I thought, like, imagine getting introduced to somebody and they go, oh, this is Chris. He's on YouTube. He sells courses and supplements. That's a red flag for the first time.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
He lives in Dubai, like, Marbella.
Like, I know I'm legit. I know I've helped people along the years. I know my supplements are as good as they can possibly be.
Yep.
But hearing that for the first time, I'd be like, oh, here comes the bandit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Here comes the snake oil salesman and whatever. In my 30s now, I don't want to be that guy. So now I say to people, you know, I'm Chris. I've got my own streaming platform where we film documentary series, eventually want to do movies, and what we'll get to later on, you know, a members club, a worldwide members club where we've got houses all around the world where people can stay. That is so much stronger now, and that's how I want to introduce myself. I'm doing the John Jones strategy.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he was signing autographs as, you know, heavyweight champ before he was the champ. So I'm kind of doing that.
Conor McGregor did a lot of that as well. He would talk about it as if he's got it already.
Yeah.
And so my visualization process that I've been doing for a decade now is I would replay a scenario that I wanted to happen in my head every minute of the day. I would break, like, you know, when you can't stop thinking about something,
it's like
an intrusive thought.
Yeah.
I give myself the intrusive thought and I think about whatever I want to happen, like walking on in front of a huge crowd and giving a talk about something you're passionate about. That's, for example, something
I was going to say, give an example.
And like everyone clapping and everything. Yeah. And you killing the talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, just going super well. You picture the venue you're doing it in, you picture the crowd, the people you're speaking with. You picture everything down to a T and you replay it over in your mind. Every time you can, every second of the day, and eventually you will get deja vu. You will have it. You will give yourself that reality.
It starts to feel like your actual life.
It just feels like it's already happened.
Yeah.
And instead of it becoming a thought, it becomes a memory.
Yeah.
You're like,
have you ever lied about something when you were younger, let's say? Because you know, as you get older, you just do it.
Younger?
When I was younger.
And, 10-inch penis.
Yeah, same. You lie about something enough that you believe it.
Yeah.
You look back in time and you go, I swear that happened. Did I lie about that? Did I make that up?
Exactly. Exactly.
Comes from the same point of view.
Yeah.
What do you think about positive affirmations?
Well, you know, I think the word positive affirmation sounds a bit airy-fairy, pretty much they're just, you know, it's just visualization. You're just visualizing an outcome that you want to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like the power of the mind. Whatever you replay to yourself, the thoughts that you give yourself, isn't so crazy that we can just like give ourselves thoughts? Do you know, there's people that can't.
Yeah, yeah.
There's people that they have no like daily running thoughts.
I've read about this.
Percentage? It's something like
it's massive, isn't it?
It's something like 30%.
I thought it was higher. I read one story once. It said this girl thought she was crazy. It said this girl thought she was crazy for 5 years because she heard voices in her head.
No.
She got them later on.
Yeah.
That's a came in at puberty.
Yeah. It's a feature, not a bug. Oh my god. But that's it, you know. I'm all about positive thinking, visualization.
Yeah.
Call me corny, cliche, this shit works. The thoughts you feed yourself and that you program in your brain is what will end up happening in the 3D world.
Man, I've been doing it massively lately.
Yeah.
So I always used to describe myself in like a self-deprecating way. Always, you know.
Me too.
I had to because I went bold at a young age.
Something really serious happened.
What? Going bold isn't serious?
Yeah, yeah, no.
What are you saying, Rob?
Yeah.
You don't know my struggle.
Yeah.
I'm going on Oprah next week to talk about this.
Get him on.
But yeah, going through that young.
Yeah.
And the only way to deal with it, because all your friends are 22, 23 years old, they're taking the mick out of you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you don't know what this is like anymore, do you? Do you know what I mean? Or your hair's blown in the wind. You wouldn't know about that.
Yeah.
So you almost have to match it fire for fire. So I'd always be like, you know, I do on my YouTube channel, I talk about myself and I'd be like, as a bold headed, big eared guy and whatever. And I've stopped doing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sexy.
Yeah.
And that's going to get clipped up and soundbited. What it is. I don't care.
I'm sexy.
Yeah. Just a meme on repeat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't care
because
I think it just does you so much good. You know, rather than saying, oh, you know, people go, you're in shape, and you're like, yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
That used to be my approach. I think it's a very British thing to play yourself down.
Irish as well. It's a super self-deprecating.
Yeah,
I think it's something to do with the weather that we all just, we're like, all just grim.
Too great. Yeah,
okay. Pull that a little bit closer, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like an Irish-English thing that we're all just like self-deprecating and take the piss out of ourselves, and which is all well and good. You need to be able to have a laugh at yourself. But every time you say something, it becomes a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like every time you speak those words, it becomes a little bit more true.
Yeah.
So you got to be really careful at the words that you say to yourself. I remember when I was about maybe 17, 18, you know, I was bottom of the year in school and I was like led to believe I was, you know, this an idiot, like the class clown, a joker, a clown, you know. And so I played up that. I was, you know, always messing in class and everything.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I'm not a serious guy. And that's no way to live your life. And I became that person.
Yep.
And then until I made that switch to say, hey, I'm a serious guy. I get fucking shit done. Anything I want to happen, it happens.
And look what's happened now.
Exactly. You know, and now, you know, now I'm not the stupidest guy in my ear. So it's all about the narrative that you say to yourself, and you got to be so careful with the words that you speak.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so you, with your channel, right, just going back to things that we didn't really get to speak about last time, would you consider your channel a red pill channel?
People asked me this in the early days.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, I'm, because they were asking me when I was 27, 28. And I was like, look, I'm a little bit old for red pill, blue pill, fucking rainbow pill. There's every pill in the world now, right? Everyone's got a little phrase and, you know, the Chad and stuff like that. And I was like, look, I've lived in the real world for so long. I'm not really a fan of all that stuff. I've moved away from all the pills and the Chads and all that stuff. I was like, it's not really for me. But based on the, if you want to call it ideology and the things that I say, it does fall into that category.
Yeah.
Which is why I think there's a blurred line.
Yeah.
And it's something that my channel definitely suffers with because I don't play up to the narrative of, you know, let's do a podcast and get 10 women on with low IQs and bully them.
Man.
I'm like, I don't want to do that. Do you know what I mean? I've got a little bit too much respect. I'm actually a decent human being.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I haven't got the heart to do that. I actually feel bad. But then at the same time, the things that I believe in, you know, like early days, the anti-marriage thing, or at least protect yourself. Do you know what I mean? Focus on yourself. Be selfish as a man, you know, improve. Looks maxing. I was on that Orthotropics 10 years ago, like talking about that. It does border into the red pill stuff. So it can blur the line, because you get guys that get the channel and they're like, okay, I get what this is. But then as soon as you say, guys, you got to take self-accountability, that's when people start giving you shit.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hang on a minute, I thought this was like every other channel that's out there. But I think that's what genuine self-improvement is. I think just being honest with yourself, you know, taking elements from all different things. Like, I'm sure, I'm not a fan of the black pill community, but I'm sure they got one or two things that I could take where I go, do you know what? That actually makes sense. So I think being a sponge, I think when you put yourself in one singular category, that's not healthy, you know, because then you go down a rabbit hole and you play up to that. So everyone wants you to talk about certain things, and that's all you talk about. You know, we've all seen the podcast, like I said, where they've got women on and then they've abused them, and then they've gone, wow, we got a million views off that. Yeah. Let's go even further down the road with that idea. But the problem is you attract the wrong type of audience. So you might have 10 million subscribers, but they're all the wrong type of people.
Yeah, you're against
them. They're not the people you'd want.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the people you want to build a business or a culture around.
So true.
And it becomes dangerous.
Yeah. And so what do you think on the topic? What do you think of the recent Fresh and Fit scandal with the pregnancy? Have you seen that?
I've seen it. I'll be honest, I don't watch any content in the industry.
Yeah.
I people always say, did you watch my video on this? And I'm like, look, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's nothing against you. I just don't want to dilute my mind. Do you know what I mean? When you dive in, you watch all these videos, you kind of... It just changes who you are. I want to just stick to my core beliefs. But I didn't see it.
No. I saw it on Twitter, and one of them got like another girl he was seeing pregnant and just basically, you know, told her to get rid of the kid. And some people are saying, hey, well, that's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah.
And then other people are saying like, hey, I thought, you know, you guys wouldn't be pro-abortion. And it's just such a mess, you know, when you're preaching one thing and doing the other, and then you're getting a really like angry audience and crowd. It's a tough one. But like you said, bringing 10 girls on that you know are going to give bad answers.
Yeah.
You know, you're just asking for trouble.
All OnlyFans models.
Yeah.
It's like, I always say to the girls that I'm complete for, everyone says you can't be friends with girls. I got loads of friends that are girls. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're super intelligent. Yeah. If they went onto these shows, they'd cut these guys apart. So when they say, oh, we don't get stupid girls on, I'm like, yeah, you do. But you have to, because that's not who everyone in the day-to-day life is having a conversation with.
Yeah.
It's and plus, like you said, your audience can turn on you.
Yeah.
I always think of Anthony Joshua. Prime example. He thought... I wasn't an Anthony Joshua fan before. I am now.
Yeah.
Because he thought the whole world loved him, and they did. Do you know what I mean? They were singing a narrative, and he was following that, and he was like, you know, I can't do anything wrong. And he played up to it. He played into it. And then as soon as he lost a few fights, everyone's saying negative things about him.
Yeah.
And I like him now, because it's almost like he's been reborn. Like, he saw the other side of it. I've seen the other side of it. The amount of times I've tried to do a new product or, you know, go outside what people would describe as my comfort zone or, you know, what I'm known for. So from YouTube to a stream platform to what we're doing now with 1M House, the amount of abuse you get is ridiculous. And I saw Joshua do the same thing. And you realize, you go, look, I appreciate my YouTube channel. It's given me the life that I've got. I appreciate my audience. But there's a vast majority that are just there to hear something, which is that red pill content.
Hate
which
watching.
Which is the danger. Yeah. And that's all they want to do. They're waiting for you to almost give them that dopamine buzz. They don't want to take action. They'll watch the video and they kind of just go, you know, that's giving me a little kick for the day. It's giving me a little confidence boost. Upload again tomorrow because I need it. And you're like, but you're not actually doing anything proactive.
Yeah.
And they're the same people who are just as fickle to turn on you as soon as things go wrong. And, you know, when you realize that, you just focus on yourself. You become really selfish. You stop playing up to the narrative and the content of the industry. Put you in a nice place.
Yeah.
I think that's where I am right now.
And so how do you deal with negativity? Do you ever get a comment that like, does really get to you?
Do you know what? I'm kind of numb to it because I've had it for so many years. Went quite viral on TikTok and that was bad.
That was a crash course in dealing with it.
Yeah.
That was an intensive course.
That was bad.
Man, TikTok is the most brutal
comments
on the internet.
It's localized.
Oh, yeah. It's always Irish people commenting shit on my TikTok.
So you're walking through the shop and everyone knows you. I remember a story just after TikTok went viral where I'm just walking down the road with my mum, taking her for a nice coffee and a meal for her birthday, and there's like four lads come past in a car. They're like slamming the horn and they're like, TikTok guy,
no, like,
your balls are massive. And my mum's just like, what's this about? And I was like, don't worry about it. And that's the problem with it being localized, is it's on your doorstep.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really get recognized from YouTube maybe 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Get recognized from TikTok. Oh, it was every minute. It was a nightmare.
That's wild. I haven't seen any. They used to always pop up on my TikTok. Well, I hardly go on TikTok. It's like 2 minutes total watch time a day to post. But I used to see way more. I think it's chilled out a little bit now.
Of me?
Yeah, yeah. A few clips. In a good way.
Yeah, yeah. It got to the point where it was like every fourth clip. And I was just like... I don't know whether it was just mine, but I was like, I hate this.
Just Chris talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was terrible. It was like, you'd open 10 videos, 3 of them were me, 5 of them were Tate, and 2 were just some random crap, and I was like, I can't deal with this. But to answer your question on the comments, man, I'm numb to it.
Yeah.
I'm numb to it. I used to answer every comment in the early days, and it built up a real loyal audience.
Me too.
I can't do it now. Yeah. I can't do it, because there's no point. You're not going to let that siphon into your life and whatever. And I remember Gary Vee said something important. He said one comment is, you know, I'll use myself for context instead of saying Gary, but it was just like, you know, Chris, you're a god, you've changed my life and all this stuff. That puts you on a massive high. Mm. And then the next comment is, you suck, you're the ugliest guy in the world. Well, if you believe the hype one, you're going to believe the other one. That's so it's like, so you have to be numb to both.
Yeah.
So I just switched off completely numb to both. They don't bother me at all now. But I tell you, there's some... And I don't want to give people tips to leave comments, but there's some that do get you, and you probably think the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Where it's something that's an attack on your personal character.
Yeah.
It's a little bit close to home.
Yeah.
Where it's not true, but somebody says something where it's like, it questions your authenticity or your morality. And you're like, I'm going to have to answer. That's irritated me.
Yeah.
And you almost have to like shut your brain off or whatever. You know, when they say, oh, I don't know, this guy's a scammer because, and then they'll go and say something that is completely not true, but I mean, based on what your channel is, people could believe you.
Yeah.
And you're like, that is such a stupid statement. I would love to answer it and tell everybody why that's stupid, because I could shut that down in 10 seconds. And you're like, but what a waste of my time.
Yeah, what a waste.
Because it's so much better if you just went and did it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, everything that they're saying you're wrong about or you're a scammer on or whatever, if you just went and did it, then you go, well, it shuts down everyone. Do you know what I mean? It's just such a waste of your time to just sit there and just go through each one and get angry. And I'm like, I'd rather use that time wisely and push forward. So, yeah, in the early days, it would have a bigger effect on me. Now I don't care.
Yeah.
I know exactly who I am. I'm 31 years old. You couldn't tell me anything about myself now that I don't already know, that I wouldn't say about myself. Do you know what I mean? It's a nice place to be in.
Yeah, I'm the same. And I was actually, it was about maybe 2 years ago, I was doing an interview for some radio station about Love Island. Yeah, about my brief stint on Love Island.
Your 7 minutes.
Hey, come on. It was 8 minutes. Come on. Give me some slack.
They're the best 8 minutes of TV exactly. I've ever seen.
But so anyways, they were like, how did you handle, you know, all the extra attention? And I was like, well, for me, I was, you know, had one of the biggest YouTube channels in Ireland before going in. So I had years and years to build up to it. But there's people that go on and they're like, let's say they're working on a construction site, or they're a plumber, or they're in an office. They get their phone taken off them, they go in and they come out, phone given back to them, million followers, and this extreme amount of hate.
Wow.
Like, you're getting mainstream hate. And I'm like, now those people, that would be rough for. But for me, it was nothing. I was just like, oh, you know, this is like a little bump. Yeah.
There's a few people, sadly, I don't know if it's something we want to talk about, a few people from that show
have
committed suicide.
It's an important topic to talk about.
They've committed suicide, you know what I mean? And it's, I used to have a whole point on this when I used to make videos about certain, you know, like the celebrity effect.
Yeah.
I used to say, like, all these girls are obsessed with these Love Island guys, but outside of this, they're part-time PE teachers.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's nothing wrong with being a part-time PE teacher. I'm sure, you know, you've got your life path figured out, but on TV, you look like a superstar. In reality, that tan goes away. You got your gym shorts on. You
know, not for me. I'm like, I am the villa now. This is the Love Island villa.
And it's just not the same. Do you know what I mean? It's not the same effect.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just not the same. So everyone gets really excited about it. But I never thought of that, actually, mate. The exposure would be something else. Imagine getting your phone back and you've got tens of thousands of comments like, do you know what, actually, I think this guy's a bit of a dick because... And they script it.
And people going in on you. And you also don't know how it was edited.
Yeah.
You know, how you're clipped together. That's something when I was on it, I couldn't get that out of my head.
Yeah.
Like, so they have like a smoking area and virtually like... everyone was just there smoking and chatting. And because like I was in the fitness industry, I also don't smoke, but like I've had a cigarette on a night out, a social one. And I wanted to go join and have a cigarette to talk to people. But I was like, I can't because of my brand. One, I don't, people are going to get the wrong idea. They think I'm a smoker. And two, I'm a fitness entrepreneur. You know, I'm Mr. Fitness. So I can't do it. So I always had that in the back of my mind. You know, I was like, are they
filming everything?
24 hours a day.
That's horrid.
Yeah, it's weird.
I know you weren't there too long, not to bring it up again.
Yeah.
6 minutes?
Yeah. We're down to five.
Lower.
We're down to 5 minutes.
You just turned the timer over and went, time's up. But did your guard drop? After what, were you there long enough where you were just like, I've forgotten the cameras are on, and I'm almost like... Do you know?
No, I know. I'd say it would if you were there for like a few weeks. For me, I was like super paranoid the whole time, start to finish. Because the main thing was like my job was a YouTuber beforehand as well. You know, I had like a lot to lose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had sponsors and everything that if I said like the wrong thing and like you said, it got clipped up, well, then that's everything gone. You know, that's like a massive income. Like I was earning tens of thousands per month before I went in.
Yeah.
So I didn't really need it.
What made you go on?
They emailed me when I was in Ibiza.
Yeah.
And it was just a bit of a fuck it moment. It was just like, yeah, why the hell not? Like, let's go.
I'm already doing that lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. Exactly. Yeah.
Got invited on.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
You'd look good on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, no regrets. And if there's a lot of people that go in and, you know, they smash it and it changes their life and then they keep going afterwards. But there's the majority of people, when you actually think about it, go in and nothing happens afterwards. You know, that's it, you know.
X Factor, they're all the same, aren't they? All the shows. But you can't blame people for trying.
For sure. No, I'm definitely, I think it's well run and I'm pro Love Island. You know, I think it's good. If you have the opportunity, you should do it. And so a quick one that I wanted to pick up on there, and it was a while ago now in the conference.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
No, we're going. But you said like someone was seriously. Someone shouted at you when you were with your mom. Yeah. I'd say that was so weird for her. And my question is, are you going to let your kids go on social media? You know, because it's going to be even stranger in many years' time.
So I've got a plan, Rob.
Yeah.
This is probably the first time I've announced it publicly.
Go on.
I won't go into, you know, depths of detail with the exact dates. I don't think I'm going to be on YouTube much longer.
What?
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. The businesses outside of YouTube are doing so well. We don't necessarily need to do it anymore. Now, if I need to do it, I was never making money off YouTube anyway. I never had ad revenue. Yeah. I never went down that route. I never considered myself a YouTuber. I never wanted to become reliant on that revenue. But, you know, it's great for teaching people stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's great for helping guys, which is my initial motive.
Yeah.
But we've evolved beyond a certain stage now. And I weigh it up and I'm like, do you know what? I can handle the hate. I'm big, old, and ugly. Do you know what I mean? I can handle it. It's fine. It's not a problem. I've had that all my life.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people commented on this actually the other day.
Yeah. Get the brown pants on. I thought brown shoes.
I thought it was more Thanos, but I mean, if you want to take Shrek. But can my kids can they handle it? I don't want them growing up with it. I just think it'd be terrible. I think I'd rather be rich and anonymous than have the fame. The fame's never bothered me.
Yeah.
Which is why I've never like pushed my YouTube channel. I think I could have millions of followers, but I've never played up to the narrative. I've never been that guy that's like, that's going to go viral. Well, what, like, my thumbnails are just me sat.
Yeah,
like,
you let YouTube pick them.
Well, I don't even take a picture.
Yeah.
I go into the video and I find a screen grab and I go, yeah, you look half decent. That'll do. I've never played up to it. So I just think, because I've never considered myself a YouTuber and I've got businesses outside of it, we're ready to transition. Am I going to do it tomorrow? No. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to take my time. There's still a few things I want to teach these guys. I wouldn't mind going down the Mike Thursden route and doing the more, you know, vlog content, more business related stuff. Yeah. I think you've got to evolve with your audience. You think of KSI was doing FIFA funnies when he first started.
No.
I found him when I was like 15. His videos were hilarious.
Yeah.
If I were to watch them today, I'd be like, this is shocking. I'm not going to watch this as a 31-year-old man.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I'm subscribed to his channel, but I've watched his fights. So he's made money out of me from an adult industry.
Yeah.
And, well, not adult industry. You get what I mean. That's the wrong phrase to use. I don't know if KSI has got an OnlyFans. Yeah. You can check, guys, but I don't think he does.
Yeah.
But that's what you have to do. You have to evolve all the time because you're going to hate the content that you used to make. And I never want to end up in that situation. I would never want to be, you know, if I've got kids and you've probably had this as well, Rob. Doesn't matter what woman you're with, she's never good enough.
Yeah.
Your subscribers will always find a fault. She could be the most beautiful woman in the world and it will be, I think you could do better.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard she slept with this many guys. And it's just like, you don't need that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're trying to form that strong family bond.
Yeah.
We're used to this. We've done this. We've probably got 20 years of experience in this industry between us. Sadly.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting on, aren't we? Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think they can handle it. Imagine your kids growing up in that lifestyle. You look at celebrity kids or rich kids.
Yeah.
They're not in a good place.
Trust fund kids.
They're not in a good place.
I saw this like viral video of some like Indian billionaire giving his son a Lambo recently. And the son was like obese.
Yeah.
He was like 19, didn't deserve it.
No.
And all the comments were like, this just sums up the typical spoiled rich kid.
It's so silly.
Yeah.
It's never gonna work.
Nuts. Yeah, for sure. And so, first of all, I'm not sure if I believe you about the YouTube thing. I think you say that, but I think you love doing it, you know? And I think also recording videos keeps you sharp.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah, there is that.
And so what's your favorite part of your day? What's the favorite part, like what you do, you know?
I would say right now it's definitely 1M House.
Okay.
Because of the sheer scale of it. But to put it into because if I say 1M House, it's like, well, no, the audience can't use that. They don't have their own 1M
House.
Okay,
you know what? So, I was going to save that for the end. Let's just go into it. Right.
Do you want to go into 1M House?
It's what you're currently excited
about. So we'll explain it. And then I'll go back to your other point.
Yeah.
I'll break down why that's important to me.
Yeah.
So 1M House is basically, it's come from three fundamental videos on my channel where I've done part twos, threes, you know, people have loved them. They're the cornerstone of my channel, which is Life Setup, which comes from Balling on a Budget and comes from Mr. International.
Yeah.
Which are three concepts where, you know, the typical life is get a mortgage. Let's say it's in the UK, you get a mortgage, you've got one house, you've got the school run, you've got your work, you've got your bars and restaurants around you, and you just live the same life on repeat.
Yeah.
I always said, like, doesn't it make more sense to have multiple properties all around the world that are all collectively the same price as that one that's in the expensive country?
Yeah.
And it was more like, how'd you set your, like Dan Bilzerian really started all of this. It was Life Setup and Framing.
Yeah.
And I was like, how'd you set your life up in a certain way where you can travel around the world? You know, I was always, when I made the Balling on a Budget videos, it was always like Montenegro before it became popular. You know, it was these like hidden areas that nobody knows about. And people loved it because it gave them, it's optimism. I think my channel's been built on optimism. You know, like the male advantage. You will get better with age. Stay in there.
Yeah.
So people have stuck to that idea. The great thing about 1M House is it's actualized those ideas. So, you know, Balling on a Budget has now come to life for people because for $2,999 per year on an annual subscription, you can now live in houses all around the world that we've bought for you that technically are yours. I mean, it's not contracted in that you've got a percentage, but in theory, because there'll be, you know, you can book it on the app. It'll be like a hotel. You can book 5-10 days to stay in Spain, 5-10 days to stay in Italy, then Greece, then America and whatnot. So it brings all that together. And then it combines, you know, fitness. We're going to have a gym on site. We're going to have sauna, cold plunge, meal preps, everything, which, you know, as a gym guy traveling, as long as you've got a gym, you've got meal prep service, because I think the two hardest things as a gym guy is being able to get a workout in a decent gym.
Yeah.
I saw Thursday was in Lake Como recently.
Yes.
And he was just like, it's
no
a school gym.
Yeah, yeah.
We were in Italy recently. There was nothing.
Yeah. It's such a weird culture. Croatia is the same.
Really?
There's just like nothing.
Yeah,
It's wild. On the island of Hvar, there's no gym.
Really?
At least when I was there.
That's interesting.
There's virtually not in the whole island. Yeah. We had to like break into a hotel that has the gym and pretended we were staying in there just to get a slight bump.
We were doing bodyweight training.
Yeah.
So you'd wake up in the morning, we were doing press-ups and squats until we couldn't walk.
Yeah. That's kind of cool for a little bit, but it's hard to motivate.
It's hard to do it,
that,
right?
You know?
Yeah. So like most ambitious guys who've got money, who want to travel, they go to the gym. Why would you not? So we're going to have all of that on site. Houses all around the world that we've bought for people, you know, that we've injected our money into, that, you know, of course, as the business grows and there's more members, we're going to, you know, the money we generate, we put back into the business.
Yeah.
It gives an opportunity that most people could never achieve. So you try and pay $2,999,000 per year and get yourself houses all around the world. Good luck.
So, I have written down here as a topic to go for. I go, what are the financials? How are you going to make that profitable? Because that's a sweet deal.
Yeah, that's
a very good deal. And so, you know, to summarize it, safe to say you're building a Soho House style membership. Membership club.
That's it. So we're going to follow the Soho model. You know, bordering on the red pill stuff again. We have said the culture needs to be away from Lads Holiday. It's not a place you can come and get drunk. There's going to be no alcohol on site.
That's
cool. Apart from parties, events and whatnot, which makes a difference. In terms of like a plus one, they can't stay at the property unless they're an actual member. There's going to be no women on the property early on. Eventually, we'll figure that out. We just don't want two scenarios. American who's 18 years old, you can't drink in America, comes to Europe and goes, oh, great, this is going to be fun. And then he's getting his stomach pumped at 3 a.m. and we've got to deal with it. You know, we can't deal with situations like that. Number two, we don't want people to go, oh, this is a place, you know, I live at home with parents, I can go flying over to Spain this summer and I can sleep with as many women as possible. We're not doing that.
It's turned into a brass house.
So we want this why I'm so excited about 1M House, because it's going to grow with me, who I am now as a man. This is the perfect business. You know, everything that I remember I said to you before, I'm not a fitness guy. And you were like, I've always thought of you as a fitness guy. I'm the lifestyle guy. Even my supplements are lifestyle related. That's where I get my kicks. 1M House actualizes that to perfection. So to have that in place moving forwards, it's got to reflect who I've become as a man. It's got to reflect the culture of 1M moving forwards, which is why we've shortened it from First Man, because then it becomes more universal for everybody.
Sounds cooler.
It sounds cooler. Yeah, it's more of like
1 million
thing,
you know,
to it.
Like, yeah.
Well, I've actually tricked people on YouTube with the views now. So when it says 1M, everyone thinks it's got a million views. So that's got
just at a glance,
on it. Oh, this must be a good one. But yeah, it's all coming together.
Okay.
I love it.
How many guests or members do you need to make it profitable?
So in theory, I don't know if I want to dive into actual figures, because then people start pulling it apart online and everyone makes assumptions. Everyone, you know,
leave it. Keep your money private.
There's double meanings and whatnot, you know, but once you've got the house, you've got the house. Do you know what I mean? We've got the money to buy the first house, which is what we're in the process of doing right now. So once you've got that, you don't have to then buy the house. You just have to have the running costs. Now, the man on my right is a genius when it comes to that sort of thing. That is why we're business partners. I'm the guy who does the podcasts. He's the guy that does the spreadsheets.
Nice.
And then just says to me, look, this is what we need to do. And I go, great. Okay, let me get on camera. Let me do my part of the deal. So just believe me, it's all taken care of. It's profitable in three different dimensions. In terms of, you know, the properties themselves, they're going to gain value as properties
That's
do.
True.
Yearly memberships, it's always going to be profitable. And then the services that will be included on top of that. So we might do fitness retreats with somebody like yourself, which would be cool. Mike likes to do fitness retreats and stuff like that as well. So you can outsource it to other people. Instead of paying 10 grand for a hotel, you know, to rent for a week or whatever, they can use our place. So that becomes profitable. Meal preps, we're going to have bikes on site. So if people want to get on the bike and take them out and whatnot. So, you know, there's multiple avenues that we can go down, and we're not even scraping the barrel with this. There's going to be, you know, sponsors on top, and then there's the expansion to house 2, 3, 4, 5, whatnot. When we move to major cities, they're going to be more like hotel member clubs and whatnot. That's when we can let women in. That's when we can be a little bit more, you know, plus ones, and you know, we'll have the culture nailed. But we're being very careful with the first one. We're making sure that we have a tight-knit group of 300 guys, which is the exclusive, you know, founding members. And we're just making sure that we've got a good members to bed balance, which is essential, because we want the service to be, you know, as usable as possible. We want the user experience to be as high as possible. We're not getting greedy. Believe me, we could get another 2,000 people in right now. We're not doing that. We want to master the first one. And then when we got that nailed and we know exactly what it is and we've got the culture, we'll do copy and paste and go house 2, house 3, whatnot. And we'll watch this thing scale. But it's exciting times,
Locations.
Okay.
What are they? I know. So, what's the first one?
So the first one's very likely, it's not concrete, you know, but the first one's going to very likely be Spain for multiple reasons. You know, you're here, which really helps.
Yeah, man. I'm going to Barcelona next week, actually. This day next week, if you need me to check anything out.
So we're visiting, you say this?
Yeah.
So we're visiting Granada.
Oh, shit,
On Saturday onwards.
Yeah.
some massive properties for very good value. You know, we're thinking with this as well. We don't want to be in a neighborhood area. We want our own compounds. We want space. We want to be able to expand. It's not we've bought the house, we've finished the house, move in, we'll take your money. We're not those types of people. You know, we're members ourselves. We love this business. We want to be at the houses, using the facilities as much as we can. So if we can get a bigger plot of land, we can continue to expand. We can continue to add things like you are with your property.
Yeah.
You know, it's a project for us.
It's the most fun. It's an expensive hobby, but it's a great
interior
one.
Interior design has become a plague of my life.
Yeah.
My accountant hates interior design. Yeah. Put it that way.
What type of aesthetic are you going for, speaking of?
So this would be very closely matched. Obviously, it's going to depend on the locations. It's going to change from Greece to Italy to Spain. Do you know what I mean? London will be different and whatnot. We'll have different aesthetics. But I guess we're going to go, you know, quite minimal. But we're going to have – we're really big on features. And that's the one big thing for us. So we want – we're thinking of the user experience. So it'll be a fire table with all the sofas around.
We can,
you know, we were picturing it yesterday. We were saying, actually, we got all, you know, dressed up, went out for a meal. And, you know, you've been sat in the sun all day by the pool and whatnot. And we was like, imagine if the guys are at the house and there's 12 of us. All the lads have been in the sun all day. They've been socializing, hitting the gym.
Yeah.
You have a shower. You know, you feel great.
That's the ultimate feeling,
exactly.
Isn't it? You have a little a Fanta lemon on the balcony.
You've got that sun-kissed glow. You feel like the best version of yourself and whatnot. Your confidence is up. Now imagine we've got, you know, our chef on site and everyone turns up and sits around a table like this. They're all sat in a row and we're all just conversing. And, you know, so that's what we're going for aesthetically. We're going for, you know, just features where people can sit. And we've got a phrase with this project actually, which is you're never more than two wicker chairs away from a feature.
We'll see something.
We were in Italy and we were looking at it. It's a massive plot of land. Not a lot there, but it's beautiful. You know, it's like a massive olive tree. And, you know, the views are stunning. The sun's there. And I was saying to Al, I was like, that's two wicker chairs away from being a feature. And that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to push this. We're going to inject money like crazy. But that's what life's about. You know, sat somewhere with a beautiful view in the sun. You know, you've just done your weights and whatnot.
Yeah.
We've just come from the UK where it's raining every single day. I think it's been about 90 days straight where it's pretty much rained every
day. Yeah, Ireland apparently has had the worst year of weather ever.
So like 2,999 per year and you get to sit in the sun all around the world and socialize with high level people. You're part of a WhatsApp group. You can, I mean, we've probably hired what, 6 or 7 guys from the WhatsApp group already.
They've
already got business out of us from different things, you know, videographers, people doing thumbnails, video editing, you know, people who are working behind the scenes on website design, app design, etc. So, and there's guys, they've formed their own groups within the group.
Yeah.
You know, people
that's
that are
nice,
in the same
that's
industry.
That's the nicest thing to see.
Like all the guys are like, obviously there's a range of ages. We're limiting it to 21 and over, which I think is essential. Yeah, you know, I would say the average age is 28.
Yeah.
I'd say we've got guys in there that are in their 50s, a few guys in their 40s, you know, all great lads. They just want a certain lifestyle. And that's why, you know, that's why we didn't do it cheaper too. We wanted the best of the best. And that's, you know, that's why I said to you, I might be off YouTube because I'm taking the best of the best with me. Any of the ambitious guys that are serious about self-improvement, sign up, come with us, have a better life.
Yeah.
You know, good luck, 2,999,000, you know, per year. Good luck going and getting your own house.
Yeah, seriously.
And good luck saving for a house with that.
And you mentioned investment there. I'm going to be nosy. Seven figures. What are we talking about? Give us a little rough one.
Can we?
Cool.
Yeah. I think it's quite helpful. Yeah. So yeah, it's touched. It's gone over seven.
Yeah. Big seven.
So that's personal investment.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're doing. Do you know what I mean? It's something that we're willing to do. Like I said, we're members. How could I talk about these ideas for 10 years and not be behind them? Do you know what I mean? How could I make videos on this for 10 years and not be the biggest supporter of these ideas myself? And also, we know that money will come back. It will come back. It is, you know, we don't want to take anything out of this business for years to come. We know what this is going to be. We've seen the potential. You know, further on investment, we've had external investors come to us and say, like, this is growing. This is massive. What you're doing is incredible.
Yeah.
We see where this is going. People that have been, let's just say, loosely affiliated with Soho in the past and stuff like that. They know what we've got here. They know what we've caught. They know we've got an existing audience. all you have to do is the maths and you go, this is going to be enormous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we don't need it yet. We've got our own money. You know, me and Al, you know, respectively, we've been successful in our own careers. So we've got our own money to put in. It's an ambition of ours. We love the project. We've been working on it nonstop. And, you know, first and foremost, we're members. So we're doing this for ourselves. And whoever wants to join can join.
I can't wait to absolutely just move in unofficially. They're like, Rob, you said you're going to stay here for a week. It's been months.
Just slept on the sofa. Yeah. And
just lock all the doors. Just become a squatter.
When was the last time you showered, Rob? You've been here for weeks.
But so on that, right, you should check this out. Okay. Yeah, so first of all, people want somewhere to go. Yeah. You know, they want a third space. Especially guys,
yeah.
Successful guys. One of my friends, he's from Ireland. He's building what I can only describe as probably the biggest fitness center I've seen on the planet in Tulum. It's called Zamaya.
Is that Mexico?
Yeah. In Mexico, in Tulum, kind of an Ibiza place, like really a celebrity hotspot. And he's building this thing. It's like the size of 8 football fields. Like, I mean, it is insane. It's gone viral. Like, you know, he has got celebrities messaging him. You know, I won't say who, but some of the biggest celebrities in the world. He was like, it's grown legs. And so he's got now hedge fund investors hitting him up, offer him tens of millions. It's crazy, you know, and that'll be done. He told me like June 2025, but you know, people want, especially like post COVID, now we can all go places. Mm-hmm. People want somewhere to go. Yeah. You know, build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Build it and they will come.
Well, we've done multiple polls with our audience, the existing audience in the WhatsApp group, and we've said, what's the most important thing for you? And we've put in some lavish features in there, you know, stuff like, oh, is it the pool, jacuzzi and the weights and whatnot? Is it it's community.
Yes.
Community is like 90% of the ratio every single time. And if it's not, it's because they voted twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Otherwise, it would be, if it was number one, it's just all community.
Yeah.
You know, especially with men, like this has been spoken about a lot. We're going down the red pill route now, but we don't have men's clubs anymore.
Yeah.
We don't really, if you're a guy who's into fitness, you don't go to the pub. So you're not socializing with guys. You might like sport, but you're not sat down the pub watching England play. Do you know what I mean?
I actually don't drink beer. I said at the start of the podcast, I'm like, we'll go for a beer. I was just saying that. Don't drink beer.
It's just a phrase you use.
Whether it's just whiskey a phrase, or gin,
go for a beer.
Yeah.
It'd be weird saying we'll go for a whiskey.
Yeah. Rob, it's 11 o'clock.
That makes you sound like a complete pisshead. We'll go for a bottle of whiskey.
A true Irishman.
And,
people just want somewhere to go. And,
exactly.
You know, and something like, you know, like a fitness space where you can socialize. I go to a gym here. It's called the IO Club.
Yep.
Really good. It's like $140 a month, probably the most expensive gym membership that I've ever seen. But for me, it's totally worth it. You know, you meet such incredible people. The coffee you're drinking now, the guy is from one of the members there. It's crazy. And yeah, it's always a good investment. You know, I never regret when I look at like my spending per month and I see that come out of my account, I never regret it. You know, there's just some things, if they're slightly productive in any way, you just don't regret them.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how do you feel your life has changed in terms of like what you feel on the day-to-day basis between your 20s and your 30s? I was talking to someone, I think it was on Twitter, and I'm like, I feel the same physically.
Yeah.
But life gets a little bit more serious and heavy when you enter your 30s. You're like, I've got to make it.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I'm now on. Time, the pressure's on.
Yeah.
So how you feeling that? How do you feel about that?
For me, it's because I've always been a supporter or an advocate, if you would, of the male advantage, which for those people who don't know, it's become quite popular in the industry now, but it's, you know, guys get better with age. So I feel like right now I'm in my prime. I feel good. You know, I'm pushing forwards. But for me, it was more, like you said, I don't know whether it was the seriousness of the jobs that I was doing really added some level of intensity. That really, when I started the streaming platform, I was like, my time isn't mine anymore. Like before I could decide, I'll do a YouTube video at 1 a.m. It doesn't matter as long as it's going out. Then it became, okay, you have to do a task list and a schedule. You have to be on time. You have to meet this person. I was like, this is intense. If I'm not working, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So that massively changed for me. From 20s to 30s, obviously your mindset changes. And my life routine has changed enormously because I think to operate at that level, you have to have a lifestyle that is congruent with that. If I'm not going to bed at 9, 10 at night, I'm tired. Yeah. And also, your gym results are terrible.
Yeah.
And if you're online, you're telling people to be the best version of themselves, get up at 5 a.m. And, you know, I'd always done it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a few days where you're like, oh, I'm going to take the day off today. Yeah. Can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you feel
it's
like
just
a fraud.
7 days a week. You yeah, like you have fraud. To be on it. And I'm like, if I'm not... There's the other thing, and I'm always talking about this. There's not many opportunities you get in your life to reach your peak. Mm. Now, you can do it in your 20s, and you can push, and you can reach 30, great. You know, but most people don't. From 18 to 25, most people going out getting drunk, making mistakes.
Yeah.
I think what's happened to me in my 30s is a sense of urgency. And do you know what else it is as well? Like, it's time to cement... So in my 20s, and I actually spoke to Mark Tilbury about this when I went on his podcast.
Oh, he's sick. I love Strike It Big.
And I think we actually talked about this off pod, because I said to him, I'd like you to be my mentor. I had a few chats with him and whatever. I just really respected him. I thought he was a great guy. And I was saying that, like, I'm the guy who takes massive risks. So I will put every penny back into the business and whatever. And it was more, like, fuck it. I don't like swearing much anymore, but I was more just like, you know, fuck it. Yeah. Put every penny back in. Whatever happens, happens. Because you're in your 20s, you're like, who cares? If it goes wrong, I can rebuild. In your 30s, you're like, I need to be a little bit smarter.
Yes.
I need to cement this now because I got people relying on me. I've got family members' bills that I'm paying. You know, and obviously in business with a partner now as well, it's like I can't just go and grab like a couple hundred thousand and be like, took a risk on,
on this, put it on red.
Took a risk on this new crypto coin. Yeah. Like, it'd be a nightmare.
A meme coin.
Yeah, yeah. I heard Doge is going to the moon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can't do it anymore. And it's just like, you need to be really smart because you're not going to get many more opportunities because you get into your 40s. And you go, okay, you could still look great, but you're gonna start showing the first signs of aging, you know, on a major level where you're like, ah, I'm looking a little bit older now and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I'm in a window in my 30s where I'm like, I can bring it all together. Because I think every guy wants to be wealthy, jacked, handsome, beautiful woman on their arm, nice car, nice house, or houses around the world if they can.
Yeah.
You want it all at the same time. You want the clothes, you want the watch. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, right, it's all there for me right now. Like, get your ass to bed at 9, get up at 4, 5 a.m. Like, get this sorted now. Lock in. Like, our training sessions are intense.
Nice.
It absolutely intense. This guy kills me every single day.
It was like shoulder pressing more than everyone the last day.
I know. It's ridiculous. Doesn't even try either.
Yeah.
You know, and you just surround yourself with those people.
Yeah.
You know, look at the men that are in the room today.
Exactly.
All people that I respect, that I look up to, that have got traits that I don't have, that I wish I did have. So, you know, you can learn something from everybody and whatever. And I've just become really selective. You know, I've cut off a lot of people, which it's not that they were bad people. They just didn't align with my vision. And I think it gets to a point in your life where you have to do things like that and you have to become brutal. You have to become a little bit more savage where it's like 25. I can't cut my friend off. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
At 31, I'm like, you got to go.
Yeah.
I love you, but you got to go because you're just not good for me.
Yeah. One thing I'm really happy with, I think I've especially crafted it well over the last 3 years. I look back through my camera roll and the people I hang out with. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, that's fucking awesome.
Man,
the people that I can just text if I'm ever in a country and I need a favor. And even like something recently, there was was a really good podcaster and I was just on another podcaster's channel and they're like, hey, can you connect us? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
and I put them together and I saw them go do a podcast. And I was like, I'm happy that I made that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, we've just had the same thing.
Yeah,
you told me about, you know, little plug for James, but you told me about James Sexton.
Yeah.
You said, this guy's great. You should get him in your documentary. He's now just been featured in my documentary for my stream platform, Fatherless Generation. And you'll probably have him on the podcast at some point.
I know,
you know,
man.
I mean? It's just like the whole industry is interconnected. And you surround yourself with these great people that are on the same level of ambition. And you know what's nice as well? They're there on time. They're on the clock as well. And you like, my camera guy is a little bit younger, right? Great guy, a little bit younger. But when he saw how professional James was, how confident he was, how he did everything by the minute. So it's like, as soon as that time's up, he's gone. And I was like, I respect it. That's
nice.
Like, that's what a man does. He was like, wow, that's like, he actually said to me, if you're working with people like this every day and interviewing people like this, it's no wonder that you wouldn't upgrade in life. And I was like, exactly. So you're seeing their routines. You know, like I said, I've got the best gym results in my life because we're training together.
Mm.
You train on your own, you push yourself, but you leave early, you skip out
a few sets, you
like
know?
You go 10 and then your partner goes, you got 5 more.
Yeah.
And they're going to help you with it. That's another level.
Yeah.
Like, where were you getting five more from?
It's like a 100% increase in output, you know?
Hang on, Rob. Yeah. Where are you getting five more from?
Yeah. Exactly, you know?
George does, when I'm really tired, he's like, can't make 38 more.
Yeah. Just taking the piss. And so with the James Sexton podcast, I don't want to ruin it before the episode comes out, but what was the biggest takeaway that you got from it?
Oh, mate, two. So for him personally, his level of confidence.
Okay.
Just him, like on a personal level. Like
he's like a comedian. He's unbelievable. Hilarious. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you'll see, like he's got these one-liners and phrases and catchphrases and whatnot. And you're like, I've never heard them
before. He's got that New York, sitcom voice.
It's like a blend of New York and LA.
He's
a really good blend from it. Yeah. From the actual podcast itself and the information that he gave, I would say what I learned from it is just how deep that marriage rabbit hole goes.
Mm.
You know, so he's like, look, it's in theory, it's a terrible idea. He was like, because you pretty much lose your money every single time. He's like, it's the biggest gamble you can possibly take. Yeah. It's almost the most guaranteed way to lose your money. Do you know what I mean? And cause yourself some stress.
Bring it.
But when it works, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
He was like, and it's the greatest reward in the world. He was like, it's like winning the lottery. And that really hit home to me. I was like, wow, that's... And do you know what else as well? I'm going to clip it up and I'm going to put it on my channel because every morning, every guy needs to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
At the end of the podcast, I was like, I thought I was quite good at my job. He makes me want to quit. That's how good he is at talking. I was like, this guy's incredible. And he gave a speech, which I can only describe as like Napoleon-esque.
Yeah.
I mean, it was next level. He was talking about like life's hard as a man. Like people are complaining. Oh, it's difficult. I can't get a woman. He was like, good. This is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
He was like that, but it's the way he phrased it. Yeah. He's so articulate, and the way it came out, it was fluid. There were no ums and ahs. There was no breaks. And it was just like, that's 50. I don't know how old he is, but I think it's about 52.
Yeah,
53,
for sure. Yeah.
Around that age, I think he said, but that's 52 years of experience.
And there's something to be said about that corporate professionalism.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, we hate on the 9-to-5 corporate world.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about just that strictness, that cleanliness. Yeah. It's like, this guy has been trained.
Yes.
You know, he's just like what he's about the time. And everything.
Exactly. Well, he's showing up in, you know, suits every day, dealing with billionaires. He said I don't want to, you know, overstep the boundary of confidentiality.
Yeah.
He's dealing with athletes and stuff like that. And you just think, you'd have to be on a certain level. You'd have to up your game to be able to deal with people like that, for them to trust you. You know, and he said as well at the start, it's really funny. He was like, I can't remember the second phrase, but he said there's two types of divorce lawyers. He was like, there's the kind of like smooth over guys, and then there's the chainsaw. He leans towards the camera, gets really close and goes, I'm the fucking chainsaw. And you'd have to have that cutthroat mentality to do the job that he's doing.
Yeah.
Because as much as you're helping one person, you're destroying somebody else's life at the same time.
And
just seeing how he can detach from that. And he said something really important on the podcast, actually. He said, I'm at an age where I've got, you know, sympathy and apathy for people now. He was like, I didn't used to back in the day. He was like, now I see both sides of the coin. He was like, now I really, you know, I see some young guys struggling. Instead of judging him and being like, oh, you're not working hard enough. He said, I see everybody struggle. I see that. And that's the great thing about being a man, is you're going to get to that stage. It gave me a lot of encouragement to think, when I'm older, when I'm in that spot, I'm going to continue growing, because this guy was impressive.
Yeah.
You know, I love seeing that. I love seeing an older guy that's still killing it.
Me too. That's why I really like, you know, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Guys like Huberman. Huberman's been in a bit of trouble recently. Having six girlfriends. Protocols work.
Is that trouble?
Sounds pretty ideal.
Sounds like the best PR of his life.
I love the way he just kept posting. Like he just went on business as usual. Because it was just a stupid article. It was like, just gossip.
I'm actually disappointed it was only six.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, we need to bump those numbers up.
The rookie numbers in those brackets.
Yeah, come on, let's get it to 10.
Yeah.
10 more reps, let's go. But yeah, that's why I love, like, when you look at those guys, it takes a little bit of pressure off. You know the way we were talking about pressure with age?
Yeah.
When you see those guys killing it in their 50s, you're like, oh man, if I just
so much
keep
ahead.
Doing it right, if I just keep living life right, I've got so much more.
Yeah.
And just life is going to continue to be great, you know?
Which
I love looking at those guys.
Do you know what's interesting too, is the guys that are, I guess you would say, at the top of this industry right now, they're all older. All of them. And I think that's where the industry's headed. I think people have got really sick of, you know, belittling people, you know, the red pill content and whatnot. I think it is going towards, you know, the Hubermans. I think, who else is doing that in that space? I think, you know, Jordan Peterson's always been big.
Goat,
but that's what everyone's... striving towards now. Yeah. You know, Chris Williamson, killing it.
Killing it.
Do you know why as well? He's a really good guy. I exchanged a few emails with him back in the day, and it was for the stream platform. It was the early days, and he was like, look, I don't know what it is yet, but I wish you all the best of luck in the world. I hope it works. Like, let me know and whatever. And I was like, what a good guy.
Yeah.
It's that level of professionalism that is now getting these guys to the top, because that's how they're dealing with everybody. The conversations they're having are very mature. You know, they're very down to earth. They argue both sides. That's what you need to do as you get older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love where the industry's headed in that sense. And that's why, you know, with things like 1MHz stream platform, I'm trying to strive after that path. I think I could be the next one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've got so much time. Me and you are around the same age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've got, like, I would love to see, you know, what I'll be like at 40.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy. You look back at 20 and you're just like, if as long as you're doing things right, you're in an upwards trajectory. And so you mentioned struggles, right?
Yeah.
What would you say to a guy, classic question, what would you say to a guy who is currently struggling with life in general? You know, if he feels like everything's against him, life is getting him down, what would you say to him? What's your, like, go-to advice? Even if a friend comes to you, a guy, what would you say?
So I've always said on this, it's points on the board. Points on the board, as small as they are. A guy I had on my podcast before called Wheat Waffles, he called it low-hanging fruit. He was like, you take what you can with where you're at. And I was like, it's actually really good advice. So for me, it's points on the board. You've got to start with something. You know what it's like? If you start a gym journey and you get depressed after day two, of course you are, because you're not going to look good. You're going to look in the mirror and be like, oh, I've not changed at all. People do that every January. They do 15 half-assed days. And at the end of the month, they're like, gym doesn't work. It's pointless.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, getting points on the board, doing something for yourself. You know, as soon as you get in shape, you're going to be a little bit more confident, which means you're probably then going to approach more women, which then means you're, you know, because 90% of approaching women is just actually approaching women.
Yeah.
Right. And people say, like, I always say to people, like, oh, you're lonely, you're single, whatever. But when was the last time you actually spoke to a woman that wasn't a family member or a friend? Maybe at school, like 10 years ago. So, you know, you'd get yourself in shape. Then that would then lead to probably dressing better, which would then lead to a boost in confidence, which would make you want to approach women. Then you get yourself a solid girlfriend. Do you know what I mean? And you're going, she's supporting you. She's a really good woman. She encourages you to start a business that you're always scared of doing before. You do that business for 3 years and it fails, but the experience that you gained and the confidence that you gained doing that then puts you in another bracket altogether. It takes the average person 2.3 businesses to succeed anyway.
Yeah, do you know what? Like, a quick one on that, right? First of all, bang on everything you said.
Thank you, man.
Quick one on the business one. I don't think anyone has ever, like, you know, tried a business and failed and ever, like, really regretted it.
Yeah.
Like, everyone always looks back and they're like, oh, that was a fucking sick story to tell.
Exactly.
You know, I'd way rather try and fail than just not try at all.
Well, imagine the regret.
Yeah.
Regret would be way worse.
Yeah.
You know, if I think there's studies done on this where they've asked, like, people in old people's homes and they're like, what is your biggest regret? And they're like, not taking risks.
Yeah.
Because when you get older, you're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not sat here right now going, oh, damn, that girl I approached when I was 16 who laughed at me, she probably still thinks, like, nobody cares. Do you know what I mean? It moves on. And knowing that, you're like, it's going to be the same moving forward in your future, unless it's a massive public blunder. Do you know what I mean? It could be terrible, but you can overcome anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, people, I mean, look at OJ, rest in peace.
Yeah, like, yeah, yesterday.
He came back and had a whole career off the back of it.
So. He became a meme.
So, like, you can come back from anything.
Yeah.
And I've been massive lately on my own channel about ego, and I've been saying that it's the ego that's
sorry
you doing
video.
Things. Yeah. So it's just like, why would you not, like, the ego holds you back because you start thinking to yourself, everyone's looking at me. Oh, she's going to laugh at me. If I fail in business, everyone's going to laugh at me. It's like, people don't actually care that much. And once you detach from that and go, I'm just going to do me. And I think it's a school mindset. It's high school,
it's school
mindset where it gets stuck in your head.
So true.
And high school life and adult life are two completely different things. The people who succeed at school and popularity and whatever, it's completely different in normal life. And I think the best thing for a young man to do, like I said, follow those steps and do the points on the board.
Yeah.
But get out of that school mindset. Nobody's watching you when you walk in the room. Nobody's judging your outfit. Like, I think for a lot of guys, it comes from being maybe a small town or a country where the culture's a little bit different. Move somewhere like London. I know it's easy to say, it's expensive, whatnot. Move to a bigger place with a bigger population.
Yeah.
People don't care.
Because you become more anonymous in a good way when you're in that bigger location. No one has time. When I was living in London, or I imagine it's the same in New York, everyone's just rushing to get their shit done. Yeah. Everyone's going about their life. No one is stopping to think about you.
Exactly.
You could walk down the street vlogging or whatever, and no one will care.
It's normal.
Whereas if you're in a small town, you know, people say that, they start shouting shit at you from the cars.
Yeah.
Like, you're my, start scaring your mom. But it's completely different. And that's what a lot of people in Ireland, the kind of go-to, the biggest, closest city is London.
Yeah.
You know, that's like Dublin to London. It's like a 40-minute flight or something. So I went there for a year. I absolutely loved it. But, I prefer Marbella, but I still really enjoyed my year there. And it does, going to those big cities, they do really make you level up.
Well, it humbles you too.
Yeah.
Because you go, I'm the big wig in my town. You know, I'm the guy who's in the best shape and whatever. Yeah. And you get somewhere like London, you go, ooh, I'm not even that strong.
Yeah.
I'm not even in that good shape. Like, oh, that guy over there is worth about 50 million.
Yeah,
and you're like,
see supercars.
Oh my God, I need to up my game.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a good thing. It's like, I really changed last year when I was training for a boxing fight. And, you know, you're a strong guy, you know how to fight, you hit the punch bag or the pads. And, you know, I described it when I was younger, it's like gunshots going off when I hit the pads. You got that young ego about you. You get in and you're sparring, you're like, I can't land. I'm missing every single shot, and you're getting beat up by the guy who's in there, who's half your size. And you're like, it's angles, it's movement, it's whatever. And you suddenly realize, you're like, oh, you're only good at things you put time into.
Yeah.
And it just really humbled me. That was a massive moment. I remember coming out of that gym, and it's funny, it was above the door. It was something like, egos arrive and then they stay in the gym or something like that. It was like when you leave, you won't have one. And I walked out and I looked up and I chuckled and I was like, I think mine's already gone. I think things like that for a man, you know, testing yourself, pushing yourself, being around people that are better than you, and then admitting it, being honest about it. I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know, when I was younger and I had depression, the one thing that got me out of it, I said to the woman, I'm not the type of guy who wants to do therapy. I was like, we're going to do 3 sessions. Session 1, I'm going to vent. I was like, because I can't vent to anybody else as a man, you know, and I was like, I'm going to lay it all out. Session 2, you're going to relay it to me. Session 3, we're going to wrap it up.
Chris, and the type of guy to give a therapist therapy.
Advice. sit down, you've been doing it wrong all this time. You need to be working off a 3-meeting model.
She paid you for the hour.
The first session, she was just sat back, me talking with a cup of tea, just like, this is great, I'm getting paid for this. But it didn't take 3 sessions.
Yeah.
So I was right. No, but it took the second session, she said to me, Chris, it's okay not to be the best at everything. Rob, the weight that came off my shoulders, it was like I was half the weight.
Yeah.
I walked out of there like I was floating. And I said to her, we don't need the 3rd session. I was like, we're going to be good. I can move forward from here. And like, rest in peace to my dad. He died a few years ago. He was a great man, loved him to pieces. We were like best friends. But he pushed that on me from day one. You got to be the best at everything. If there was a big football match, we were in the final, he was like, you have to win it today. And I think for men, I think losing that, where you're like, I'm not afraid to lose. I'm not afraid to mess up. I'm not perfect. You know, I might not be her type. She might have a boyfriend. It's not an issue. And I think, you know, once you do that and then start putting points on the board, life comes together.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing you can do as a man.
Yeah. It's like those small steps will end up just completely changing life, and they compound over time.
Yeah. Well, I'm big on this actually. Yeah. The compounds. Have you ever heard of the aggregation of marginal gains?
I think so. I have heard in finances.
So Team Sky did it, where they were like, okay, are we really going to get, Are riders going to get that much better in a year or 6 months or whatever?
Oh, I have. Yeah, yes. go on.
So they were like, we can improve the saddle strength or like comfortability by like 1%. We can improve the power output by 1%, our foot turnover by 1%. And they said, once you add it all up, it becomes a massive gain.
Yes.
I think it happens with male age. So, you know, when you're younger, I know you used to play Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
Like, as you get older, I know people say as you get older, you get worse at video games and whatnot, but you become more of a logical thinker. And, you know, we're not playing video games now, but when you were 6 years old, there was a level that you couldn't complete, a game that you struggled in. At 14, you smashed it. It was easy. You know, everybody knows that. You know, the phrase, he gave his controller to his older brother for the second half.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? A little football game, and he wins it for you and whatever. I had that in my life, and I think it's a hockey stick growth. I think for men, don't get disheartened, because the progression you make from 18 to 29 might be like 3-4% of your overall life progression. From 29 to 30, you might make like a 10% jump.
Yeah.
Because you're just better at life. Like, life is a skill. That doesn't get spoken about enough.
Yeah.
You know, you just learn stuff from people. You pick things up. You just become better at life in itself. And things that I used to make mistakes on that used to take me 2 weeks to work on, we now do in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you go, God, if I was operating on this level, and you think differently. So instead of going down the wrong avenue and making mistakes and whatnot, your first decision is the right decision, and that comes with age, that comes with experience. So, you know, you keep chipping away, you make these little steps, you fail at business nonstop, but all of those failures are making you better at life, better at business, better at everything. And then there comes a point where it all culminates and comes together, hence the male advantage. That's what people need to be working towards. And it's optimism that gets you there. And everyone will put you down and say, oh, you're never going to make it. You're not going to be that guy. Why you? And you're like, but the guys that are at the top started just where I started. They're exactly the same as what I was. And somebody's got to be the best. Somebody's got to be at the top. Somebody's got to be able to make it happen. Why not you?
Yeah.
I've never seen an issue with that.
And you know what? As you get a little bit older as well, people take you more seriously.
Yeah, they do.
Let's be real. Yeah, especially as a guy. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
that's
definitely.
That's kind of like one of the main things.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I look at myself in some of my old YouTube videos when I'm like 22. I'm like, this guy is a child. Like, it's so crazy to look back on.
What's the things for you? What do you look back on most? Is it like physique? Because obviously you're in the fitness world. Is it more, you know, the things that you were promoting or what? I know what it is for me, but what was it for you?
Well, definitely physique for sure. Even though, you know, I was always like really, really good in shape. But it's kind of also like... how distinguished my face is. It's like just a real innocent look. The world hadn't hardened me yet. You know, I hadn't done anything yet. I haven't gone out, hadn't got my heart broke.
Yeah.
You know, haven't like got punched in the face. Well, I did physically, but you know, not financially in business. Just not, life hadn't happened to me yet. And you could see that softness in my eyes. And it's good. You know, I think it looks, when a man is hardened and he's seen some shit, it looks better. You know, people comment like, oh, Rob, you've aged so much. I'm like, I'm fucking 32. You're looking at videos 10 years ago. I hope I have.
Yeah.
But I like how I look now. You know, I think, and even Linda says you look way better now
That matters.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I look back and I just see like, I love my old videos, and I just see like this kid who hasn't like had life and he happened to himself yet. And he's just at the start of his journey and he's just figuring it all out. And that's why I'm so heavy on content creation. I think like everyone should start YouTube, because I guarantee you when we are 50, 60, whatever, we will look back on those videos and we're the only people that have actually logged our life and logged our whole journey. You know, it's crazy. And I think Iman Gadzi said this as well. He was like, whether you think he's like a fake or not, I think it's legit. Yeah. He's a fucking hard worker.
He's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, go look at my first ever videos when I was like, you know, living in a flat or whatever and trying to be a personal trainer.
Yeah.
He has that social proof. And that's what I say to people that follow me as well. I'm like, you can literally go back to day one on me and see that I'm not talking shit about my journey.
Yeah.
I've completely documented every single week.
Yeah.
You know? So that's something that's very important to me.
You phrased that there as a positive. I always saw it as a negative because I said, when people were giving me grief online, I was like, the difference is you've done things worse than I have. Yeah. They're just not filmed.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
not documented. I'm sure you said some controversial things, but that's a very positive spin.
Yeah.
I think in like 10 years time, you know, I'll look back and I'll be like, that was actually a really cool journey.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of footage on there.
There you go. Yeah. Is there anything that you would say to yourself 10 years ago?
I would say do more research, learn quicker, you know, get that knowledge on board.
Learn quicker, fail faster.
Yeah, yeah, because you're a know-it-all, do you know what I mean? When you're young, you're a know-it-all, you think you've got all the answers. And I was fueled by, I'll show them, I'll show those guys. Oh, they're laughing at me. You watch. I had a list, Rob.
Yeah.
I had a list of everybody that had said something negative about me.
You're that guy in Happy Gilmore or Billy Manson. He's got a list of people to kill.
Wait, honestly, my own family members, I'm talking like mum, dad, sister, if they just said, oh, it's rubbish, why don't you get a proper job? I was like, you're on the list.
Yeah.
And then as you got older, you're like, this is so stupid. Why am I doing this? Why am I being fueled by this energy?
Yeah.
And then you realize, you know, you're doing this for yourself, and whether it comes together or not, there's no pressure on that. And that's what I'd do. I think I'd go and get all the knowledge. I think I'd go and get, you know, I'd learn from other people. In the early days, I knew best. I was reluctant to get a 9-to-5 job, which made the journey longer and stuff like that. And then years later, I was like, oh, I should probably go and get one. Cause then when you've got a 9-to-5 job, you're learning from people who are better than you. Number two, you're getting money that you can put in the bank and then reinvest into what you want to do business wise. When I was 18, 19, I was like, oh, 9-to-5 jobs are for bums and all this sort of stuff. And I'd almost say to my mom, oh, it's your fault that you're broke and whatnot. And then you get older and you're like, she's worked 5 jobs to put 2 kids through school, 1 through university, to fund us, put food on the table, you know, as a single mom from 14 onwards. And you get that kind of empathy for people.
You realize that your parents are just like big kids.
Yeah.
At the time. That's something that I've really realized so much in the last year. Like when we're like teenagers or whatever, you know, we look at our parents as people that have meant to have it all figured out.
Yeah.
And they don't. They're just big kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like they're just now they're like 8 years older than we were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you actually like your humor and your mind doesn't change that much. Like you're still going to be figuring it all out.
Once I turned 21, I was like, me and my dad are pretty much the same age.
Yeah.
We like the same stuff. I was like, we want to do the same stuff. When we hang out, I was like, we're just basically the same bloke now. Yeah. I was like, there's no gap in between. And you remember Alex, camera guy Alex?
Yeah.
He said to me before, you know, the teachers, remember you were at school and you were like, oh, these teachers are old and whatnot. They just finished university and got their first job.
He was like,
they were like 22, 23 years old in their first job. And, you know, we used to judge them and be like, you're not married, you don't have kids and whatever. And it's like, life's a long journey.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'd say to myself. Learn more, be more humble, drop the ego as early as possible. And just practice stuff, fail at everything, like just chip away, take advice off other people.
Yeah.
You know, even like you're going to the gym and you're doing the same routine for 3-4 years and whatnot. And it's like, why haven't you gone up to that Jack guy and asked him? Instead of sitting there and be like, oh, he's probably on steroids or something stupid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go over and just be like, what is it you're doing that I'm not doing? Teach me something. Can I train with you? Do you know what I mean? Just go and ask those questions. Because you could imagine you get to where you ever wanted to be in life 5 years earlier. That's 5 years more of like the highest quality life where you're enjoying everything at the highest level. The amount of years I must have wasted where I was like, I don't know, beefing with somebody on YouTube, or I didn't try and do that too much, but I've been very outspoken about this guy, but like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just want to focus on what I'm doing. I want to learn from people. I'm not the best at anything in the world. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just a nice spot because collectively you just become who you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I like exactly where I am. I like where my mindset is. I'm comfortable with who I am. I've done everything I ever wanted to do within reason, you know, give it a year or two and it'll probably all be ticked.
Yeah.
And it's just like what a nice spot to be in life.
There
what would you say? I know it's supposed to be your closing.
No.
What would you say? I'm intrigued.
I always say to myself, so start sooner. Like I only started my journey at 22 and I see like all these guys who are like 18 starting out. I only picked up a camera at 22 and that's when I started putting myself out there.
Yeah.
And I feel that's when life started happening to me. I always like, it was the Taylor Swift song, 22. I feel like when I turned 22, that's when my life kind of began. And you know, I wasted a few years prior to that in college and working these like shitty retail jobs. And there were years when I was trying to figure it all out. But 22 is when I feel my life began.
Yeah.
And it could have began maybe when I was like 18, 19. And then right now I would be 4 years. I would have had the villa 4 years ago. You know, I would have been living the life I have now 4 years ago. But look, everything happens for a reason. Time is on its own scale, whatever. But I would say to myself, stop giving a fuck sooner. Start putting yourself out there sooner and just stop putting the thing you know you have to do off sooner.
That's interesting.
And I would also add to that, I would say that observe what everybody is doing. Observe what the majority is doing and do the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Do eat differently. It's sleep differently, work differently, do everything completely differently. If you want to have a 1% life, you need to observe what the 99% are doing and avoid that.
It's interesting you say that actually, because I really wanted to go out on a night out the other day. I was in, you know, where I live and I was like, God, I'd love to go out tonight. And then I thought back and I was like, you cuss yourself for, I probably went out and got drunk for like 3-4 years straight every weekend and whatnot. I cuss myself for those years because I'm like, if I didn't do that, I'd be in even better shape. I would have done it sooner and whatnot. And I caught myself in the moment and I was like, get to bed, 9 p.m., get out for the gym again in the morning. Do you know what I mean? So it's always there. It's
I wasted a few years on the piss as well, especially like early 20s. You know, I used to get like blackout drunk every weekend. I did a video recently just talking about like my journey with alcohol. And how I guess it comes with maturity with age as well. But those pubs, the bars, those blackout nights, first of all,
not a lot happens.
Just not, you're not missing out on
anything. You're not me and your wife there either.
No, I don't look back on those years, on those nights, and I'm like, oh, I wish I did more of that. I'm glad I've had some fun, I traveled, did some festivals, but I'm never like, oh, God, I wish I did more. Yeah. You know? I wish I did less.
Are you aware of the progression bias?
Go on.
So, it'd be, like in summary is basically the perfect example. Like every woman I ever knew when they were young, my sister always said the same. They're like, oh, why do mums always dress terribly? Why do they never have any makeup on? Why do they always have their hair back? She was like, when I'm older, yeah. I'm going to be a trendy mum with like Gucci bags and whatnot.
Yeah.
No, like now she's got the sweats on, hair tied back.
She's got the Karen haircut.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you realize that in life, like the progression bias is what you think you want right now is what you think you'll want forever. But with maturity and with age, as you get older, you go, oh, actually, I want different things. And I've made a video before where I've said youth is actually about 7 years. So you're basing your entire life from like 18 to 25 around this whole concept of I want to live while I'm young. I want to travel. I want to do all these things and whatnot. But you've got no money. You're not really doing cool shit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You travel, but you're just working at a fish farm in Thailand to fund the entire trip. You're staying in a youth hostel. Yeah. Somebody steals all your shit out of your bag. And it's like, it's not a nice experience. On top of that, you're going out, you're getting drunk, you're probably sleeping with the most low quality women that you'll get in your life if you're going to improve along the way.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're basing your entire life on 7 years of a few nights out. And with the progression bias, if you could stop yourself and go, 30, 40, 50 year old me will want houses, we'll want a good network and a good community of people. We'll want a good solid wife. We'll want, you know, a good life for my kids. Now, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But if the guys watching this can actually put that in their mind at like 17, 18 years old and just go, yeah, it hurts now. And everyone's laughing at me for not going out. 10 years time, they'll be sat there like, I'm so ahead of the game. This is ridiculous. And like you said, I'm so big on at the moment. Like I made a video saying your dream life is behind a very thin wall. So it's almost like that curtain behind you is that thin. You can see through it.
Yeah.
But everyone gets to it and goes, oh, I can't go through that. And it's just like, once you do these things, they're not as scary as you first thought they were. Do you know what I mean? Your first podcast, you were probably like, ooh.
Yeah, I was here sweating. We go.
Yeah. Whereas now it's just two blokes having a chat. Yeah. We'd be doing this if the cameras weren't on.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's so, what I'm always like, don't come over until we start. Because we all just
I did it earlier.
Yeah, you did.
I was going to talk and I was like, I'll save it. I'll save
we'll
it.
Just speak for an hour before.
I was so ready though. I was like, let's get this out.
But always an awesome chat, Chris. What is the game plan for the coming year? We just finished Q1, first quarter of the year. What's the game plan for us?
So it'll be predominantly Wanham House.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to open, launch the first house. The launch party is going to be insane. All the footage is going to be there. Get all the equipment in, you know, get that underway. Give that kind of, you know, the best possible opportunity for 6 months. It's going to be intense. Yeah. We're probably going to be at the properties all the time, making sure everything's great, managing everything, working out like suppliers. You're going to need water and stuff on site, you know, tinkering away at that, you know, the cleaning service and whatnot. So we're going to learn the game. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. This has never been done the way we're doing
it. No, no. I can't think of any.
Yeah.
Like it.
Like if Soho is the closest thing, but we're doing it, you know, for the men's lifestyle community.
Yeah, it's completely different.
It's completely different, right? So we're going to have to figure out that system. It's going to take up the majority of the time. The stream platform's still going. I mean, we've got our 8th project on there now, so 8 in 8 months, which is great for a first year.
Yeah.
Considering I'm just funding everything myself. And there's so many, you know, along the way you encounter hurdles you didn't see. So 8 months ago, I didn't think there'd be the problems that we faced. We faced them, we got through them, we're moving forward. So I'm going to be chipping away at that, try and do 2 a month eventually in the future and whatnot. But I think 1M House, I think I'll be talking to you in a year and I'll be like, 1M House was so much more than what I thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be this and that, and it was going to be, I think we haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get people reaching out to us and we're going to test things out and we're going to have retreats and we're going to go, wow, this is growing to something way bigger. This is becoming its own ecosystem and its own culture without us influencing, like affecting it now.
Yeah.
This has become enormous. It's going worldwide. It's going so much quicker than what we thought it would. I think that's on the table for us. So yeah, I'll still be on YouTube. I haven't given a concrete date. I've definitely got a year in the tank.
Nice.
And if I do stay on, it'll be a complete change of content. It'll be the vlog type of stuff. It'll be, I'm getting a little bit too busy for it.
Yeah.
I love using it as a personal diary.
Yes.
It gets my thoughts out. But by building this community, you'll have that. You'll have these people, but you know, vlogging, somebody following me around with a camera, filming my life and then editing that, putting it up on YouTube. I don't even have to see it.
Exactly.
So I can still help people whilst getting on my normal life. So I think that'll be the plan moving forward. And we'll do our annual podcast again and I'll let you know how we get on.
Boom. Awesome. Smashed it again.
Appreciate it.
As expected. Well. Always enjoy chatting.
I can't wait
to be the first official guest in 1M House and just take a permanent residency there.
And the ambassador. The first ambassador.
There we go.
1M House.
True, yeah.
That's the announcement, guys.
There we go. If you made it this far, that's it.
We'll do a proper video on that.
Yeah.
We'll do a proper video soon. We'll do a release. But Rob, it's been a pleasure as always.
Right there.
Thanks for inviting me on.
No worries. Cheers, buddy. Welcome anytime.